What if you were attempting to be in, do you have a boyfriend? What if he attempted to predict your actions at every turn? And what if he attempted to describe mathematically your behavior? I'm presuming he would, A, think he's crazy, and B, get the hell out. Or maybe not, I don't know. You know? And I'm not trying to jinx your relationship. The point is that if you perceive another as a subject, you're going to treat them radically differently than if you treat them as an object. And we oftentimes forget the difference. Fundamentally, I have the same problem with science that I do with religion in our culture. It's not that science itself is a problem, it's an outgrowth of our culture, and everything about our culture is an attempt to control. So our religion is going to be by control, our education is going to be by control, our science is going to be by control, our relationships are going to be by control. We've got to fight to get through that. And science forms a mighty convenient means of describing the world that facilitates control as a problem.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Descartes. Descartes came up with that because he had backed himself into a corner and had doubted everything. There's nothing that he could prove. And the only thing that he was sure of was that he doubted. So it should say, I doubt, therefore I am.
I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, okay.
But I wish he would have just stopped there. Yeah. He would have just said, I think, therefore I am, I actually wouldn't have a problem. And he could have just as easily have said, I doubt, therefore I am, I defecate, therefore I am. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the problem is that they articulated this whole belief system that was really solipsistic. They eventually decided, I say, he realized that he was thinking his thoughts because he was doubting the existence of the universe. He must exist if he's doing the doubting. I think, therefore I am. So far, so good. But as Descartes continued his line of reasoning, the world congealed for him into two groups. The thinker, in this case Descartes, or more precisely his disembodied thought processes. And of course, you can't have disembodied thought processing in your body. And that which he thought of, you know, everything and everyone else. And had Descartes stopped there, response by other philosophers would probably have been violent backlash of him and philosophized out of subjective existence. It's kind of a philosophy joke. But he didn't. He and many other philosophers eventually agreed that subjective personhood should certainly be granted to all of them, as well as to others with political, economic, or military power, while they decided just as certainly it shouldn't be granted to those who couldn't speak, or those whose voices they chose not to hear. So there was this arbitrary line of subject-object. That's what I object to, is the distinction between subject-object, because there is no such thing in the world as an object.
What is the subject yourself? I mean, wasn't like one of the first things that science sought to find out about was, you know, human anatomy, like just what are we made of? So is that also a negative way, like turning yourself into...
Oh yeah, I got a problem with that too. No, it's turning yourself into an object to study.
But it's to better understand yourself. It's to better understand the people around the world. Why? People question. People want.
How does describing something scientifically help you to better understand it as a subject?
Good. I'm not sure if you're speaking specifically about one method of doing science or the impetus that brings about science. The question of the asking, what are we made of? What is that animal made of?
See, that's another huge problem I have with science, is that science has attempted to co-opt curiosity. When people say, wait, are you against science? Like, yes, so that means you're against curiosity. Well, no, I'm against non-relational curiosity. I'm against curiosity that does not attempt to understand. The Okanagan Indians have this wonderful word, it's called enalkin, and it's their method of conflict resolution. And what the word means is I challenge you to give me your most opposite perspective to mine so I can increase my understanding. You only do this with two people doing it, because if one person does it, the other person's not playing, so they just get screwed. Basically, it has to do with living in a place in a long time. Jeanette said, it's not that we don't have our squabbles, it's just we know that our great-great-grandchildren may marry your great-great-grandchildren, so we need to get along. And then I would say the same thing toward the natural world. Well, I'm not going to have kids, but if I had kids, then my great-great-grandchildren will have to interact with the same tree. I'm going to treat the tree well, and I would hope that the tree does the same. It all has to do with the subject-object distinction. I have no problem with curiosity. And I'd say this in here somewhere. Oh, here it is. I was sitting on the floor of my living room speaking with a scientist friend of mine who insisted that the scientific method is in fact the only way we learn. One of my cats walked into the room. My friend said, hypothesis, cats purr when you pet them. She scratched her finger on the carpet, the cat trotted over to her. She ran her hand along the cat's back, the cat purred, hypothesis supported, sample size one, where's another cat? I knew I disagreed, but it took me a while to articulate my reason. Finally, I said that whether we're electrifying a kitten or petting a cat, if the purpose is specifically to collect data, we're still objectifying the cat. What if I said I pet her because I liked her, because I know she likes it? I can still pay attention, I can still learn from the relationship. That's what happens with my other friends. Why not with the cat too? But the point is pursuing a relationship, not gathering information. She hesitated, looking strands of hair around her index finger, as she often does when she contemplates something. And then she said, I guess that would change the whole notion of what knowledge is and how we get it. And I think about sex, too. Say you're having sex. Partner is attempting to stimulate you in a certain way and says, okay, so we're going to do a scientific experiment here. I mean, you can make a joke about, yeah, we want a large sample size. But the point is that that's different than exploring as friends or lovers what each of you enjoys. And I would extend that way of perceiving the world into the world at large, into exploring what does the salmon community want from me? What do I want from the salmon community?